This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on FCA Answers, can we safeguard the grid from cyber attack? Conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with FCA International. Welcome to FCA Answers. Joining us in the studio today, Dr. Ernst McDuffie, lead for the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education with the National Institute of Standards and Technology in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And Mike Peterson, he's a retired lieutenant general and former Air Force CIO, currently the vice president for the cyber campaign at URS. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Tom Conway, the director of business development for McAfee. Welcome all. Now, Ernest, we're going to start with, by the way, it's very nice to see you again. It's great to have you on the program today. Mike, you also. There's been an ongoing concern over the last few years about the nation's critical infrastructure, the cyber vulnerabilities of the electrical grid. Suddenly, people became aware that the grid was interconnected. And in some cases, it is. In some cases, it isn't. Can you start us off with a quick status report on the best thinking in the government right now about safeguarding the infrastructure?
So critical infrastructure is in the domain of the Department of Homeland Security. They've actually identified some 16 different critical sectors that need protecting. And the cyber issue is actually ubiquitous across all 16 sectors. They've stood up a cross-sector working group that focuses on cybersecurity issues and how they apply to each sector specifically, recognizing that a lot of the issues are the same regardless of the sector that you're in. So by having this holistic approach, it prevents people from wasting resources and times on individual problems when they're really more general.
Mm-hmm. Mike, when it comes to this holistic approach to infrastructure protection, cybersecurity, this is something that URS is particularly interested in because you're a very large firm with cybersecurity and infrastructure protection as part of the portfolio. What are the challenges for industry right now in terms of helping your government clients and the government in general with safeguarding the grid and cybersecurity protection?
Well, I don't think the first couple of challenges surprise anyone. Number one, you've got to build a team. And that's an in-house team that is competent, well-trained. But it's not just the in-house players. You've got to form strategic alliances with other members from industry, whether it's niche or long-term alignments. Not just industry or vendors, but we talked about NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology, align with their procedures that they publish, align with Department of Homeland Security guidance. And then reach out to professional organizations. I've been an FCA member for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Reach out for education, for contacts. So number one's a team. And once you have that team in place, you can start to understand the real threat that's out there. That real threat, we'll call it the advanced persistent threat, becomes more sophisticated every day. The Department of Homeland Security published earlier this year a note about attacks on our oil and gas industries, where they had where these hackers or entities had been exfiltrating information, whether it was proprietary or whether it was looking for vulnerabilities in pipelines and refineries. So you've got the team, you've got the threat, and now the real work begins. Mm-hmm. Build an architecture that you can follow, and I don't mean a line diagram hooking boxes together, but an architecture with artifacts that also include governance structure, that also include processes and standards, all of which are disciplined and you're able to follow them time and time again. With those three get started challenges, there's plenty of more work to follow.
Sure. Now, given that guidance that was issued by NIST, and it's a very comprehensive document, is it possible to say whether government and industry are ahead of the curve on the persistent threat or still catching up with the threat?
So I would hesitate to categorize where we are exactly on that threat vector. But the important thing I think that has been pointed out is this idea that we're aware of the importance of cybersecurity issues and they're being considered as we're designing new systems. It's the type of thing that you have to build in from the very beginning. It's not something that you can apply to later on. So having that raised awareness over the last number of years certainly puts us in a stronger position than we have been in the past.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, what do you think?
Oh, I have to agree. And the reason you can't categorize it in one sound bite is it changes every day. Certainly, we get better. I've seen that. Ernest has seen that. But so does the threat. Mm-hmm. And so does, and really, the complexity of our systems is what grows daily that makes it even more difficult.
Sure. And a lot of times we also hear the phrase, the speed of technology. And, you know, to define the change and the ability. And they say that along with the speed of change for the good guys, the bad guys also have the speed of change at their beck and call as well. Is technology our friend here in terms of helping us keep up with the change?
So that's a very good point. It's not only the speed of change, but the rate of change itself. Things are happening quickly, and that rate is increasing. So it's a challenge both for the good guys and the bad guys. Certainly the good guys have larger constraints in terms of budget and time and resources that they have to deal with that a lot of the bad guys don't have. They have no real set rules that they have to play by. But technology is really just a part of the solution. There's always going to be the human element involved in any system. And so the amount of training that we can do, education, and awareness for the people involved is a big step in securing our systems.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, probably policy, the kinds of policies that drive what kinds of technologies get developed and bought, you know, because that's an important factor for industry as well.
Well, certainly there's the policy that's delivered by the federal government that we all want to follow. But it matters what industry or business process you're trying to support. From that point, those policies have to match the culture of the organization. And so it has to be refined to that point where in any organization, you can do it over and over again in a disciplined process, or you can use those technology tools in a disciplined process to achieve your goals.
Okay, very good. On that note, we'll take a break here. Still to come, making the grid smart and protected. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
For critical infrastructure protection, turn to URS. They provide enterprise resiliency and security for DOD and many other federal agencies. Whether it's managed security services, comprehensive assessments and solutions, systems engineering, integrated cybersecurity, and cloud computing, URS has earned a reputation for going above and beyond. URS delivers mission success. Learn more at urscorp.com. That's urscorp.com.
FCA is proud to partner with DHS for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. FCA International and its chapters have a month full of cyber-related activities. Free webinars include responding to a large-scale cybersecurity incident, practical cryptography and cloud security. Monthly chapter events around the world will include a cyber focus. Signal Magazine's October issue brings you features on intelligence and social media, cloud computing and big data. Additional cyber resources include FCA Cyber Committee's white papers on critical infrastructure, insider threat and secure mobility, cybersecurity professional development courses, and cyber scholarships. Members enjoy significant discounts and benefits with FCA's education preferred providers, including Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward Training. Learn more about FCA's cybersecurity offerings at www.fca.org/cyber.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are Dr. Ernest McDuffie with NIST and Mike Peterson, Vice President for the Cyber Campaign at URS. Ernest, I want to turn to you and ask you to talk to us a little bit about efforts to move the nation to a smart grid. Give us a little definition of the government's working definition of what that means.
So NIST is involved in preparing standards for the various devices that will make up the smart grid. These are devices that will not only be in residential homes, but will be part of the infrastructure itself. So these devices present new challenges from the cybersecurity perspective, and certainly from an education and training perspective. There's some 4,000-plus utility companies within the United States. Employees that there will need training about the cybersecurity threats that these new systems bring to them. And all the people at the user end will also need to understand what the devices can and can't do within their own homes and what they need to do to protect their control of those systems. So there's a large education and awareness process that's ongoing now and continues to move in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people are as aware as they need to be about what they need to know about all of that?
Yeah, it's interesting. A number of surveys have been conducted that indicate that the American population in general is very aware of the threats in cyberspace. The need seems to be for reliable information to mitigate those threats. There's always that desire to go out and find what resources are available to help them deal with the threats. And oftentimes, they lack trusted sources that they can rely on. So that's part of the effort that my NICE initiative is mounting now, is this national awareness campaign.
And it's a very nice acronym as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mike, I had an opportunity last year for Signal Magazine to write an article about the Department of Energy's replaceable transformer program. And one of the things, also NIST has a hand in that, and very interesting cross-agency opportunities, but also some industry opportunities as well, because it seems that momentum is moving towards a standard. They're not quite there yet. When it comes to this particular sector, what are the business opportunities like for this kind of product?
Well, I think Ernest reminded us up front that the 16 critical infrastructure sectors have lots in common. And every single one of them relies on, as we're speaking about today, a cybersecurity element. Mm-hmm. Or a network or a SCADA systems. And in each case, the opportunities for industry are to help those vendors or those industries, as they understand the threat, conduct a complete end-to-end threat assessment. You know, what are the risks associated with operating the way they are to now? What about the connections, whether it's connected to the internet or simply connected in-house? What about wireless connections? So understanding that risk that you face, and then clamping down as tightly as you can, making certain that software applications that you have purchased and put in place are operated in the tightest security configuration possible. As we've gone into other companies, we've found connections that people didn't know existed. We have found configurations that weren't the standard and didn't use all of the security elements. And then Department of Homeland Security and NIST recently put out continuous monitoring special publication, really important. Those are the kind of tools that no matter what you did 3 years ago to accredit your system, it's not the same today. And without tools and technology and a partner to help you with, I'm not sure everyone can get that kind of work done. But those are the opportunities out there.
Sure.
And more.
Sure, absolutely. And one of the keys that you talked about there, Mike, are partners and professionals who are able to do this kind of work. And I know that another piece of the puzzle is having cybersecurity professionals who at all levels, the most expert down to folks who are just coming out of college and who are trained to get in and, you know, get their hands dirty on this kind of thing. Ernest, what's your take on the state of cybersecurity education, and how does that fit into what Mike was just describing a few moments ago?
So the idea of public-private partnerships is key, not only between government and industry, but government, industry, and academia. We want to make sure that the academic community is producing the type of students that are going to be lifelong learners. That are adaptable, that are able to come into a training program at an individual company, industry sector, and really pick up the state-of-the-art, proprietary, most often, systems that are available there that you can't really learn about in an educational setting. I think we're in pretty good shape. There's a program that's been around for almost two decades now called the Centers of Academic Excellence in Information Assurance Education. It's a designation given out by the National Security Agency and the Department of Homeland Security. Almost 200 schools now across the country have received that designation, to include community colleges. So having received that designation means that the school not only has the faculty and the infrastructure to produce qualified graduates, but are also adhering to certain standards that will guarantee that you have a certain level of professionalism within that field. Lots of hands-on training is becoming a highlight, particularly at community college levels, where they're focused on displaced workers and adult learners coming back to the workforce. So I'm encouraged by the current state of academia.
Sure. Mike, from the industry side, do you and your colleagues feel like you've got the folks that that you need? There's been a lot of talk about the competition between government and industry for the pool of people who are coming out of colleges with cybersecurity education.
I do feel that there's strong competition, but at the same time, very few companies do it all by themselves. And so partnerships are important, alignment with DHS and NIST are important, and having professional organizations like AFSEA who you can share with, it's all important. I think we're going to get there together.
Okay, very good. Well, still to come, are there ever enough cybersecurity pros? You're listening to AFSEA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Keep cyber adversaries out of your network and keep data from being taken out of your enterprise. McAfee's Enterprise Threat Management product suite can help detect advanced threats, which requires real-time advanced situational awareness. Learn about faster, smarter, and easier security monitoring at McAfee.com/SIEM. McAfee is a wholly owned subsidiary of Intel Corporation and is relentlessly focused on keeping people safe one click at a time. Visit FutureAgency.com for information on McAfee's federal solutions.
AFSEA is proud to partner with DHS for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. AFSEA International and its chapters have a month full of cyber-related activities. Free webinars include responding to a large-scale cybersecurity incident, practical cryptography and cloud security. Monthly chapter events around the world will include a cyber focus. Signal Magazine's October issue brings you features on intelligence and social media, cloud computing and big data. Additional cyber resources include AFSEA Cyber Committee's white papers on critical infrastructure, insider threat and secure mobility, cybersecurity professional development courses, and cyber scholarships. Members enjoy significant discounts and benefits with AFSEA's education preferred providers, including Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward Training. Learn more about AFSEA's cybersecurity offerings at www.afsea.org/cyber.
Welcome back to AFSEA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our next guest works for one of the largest companies in the world dealing with cybersecurity. Tom Conway is Director of Business Development for McAfee. Let's just go ahead and leap in, Tom. You've been watching the state of cybersecurity for some time now. How do you and McAfee view current efforts to safeguard critical infrastructure in the context of the broader question of cybersecurity?
It's a very good question. I would say cybersecurity has become increasingly critical, increasingly difficult, and increasingly complex. The critical part of it, as everyone knows, more and more of our lives are moving digital. So our finances, our entertainment, our healthcare, our critical infrastructure are now rolling on the internet. At the same time, we're seeing there's more and more dependencies upon this as organizations and individuals and people, a variety of devices, and then the threat landscape continues to grow in sophistication in number of actors out there. You have people from Anonymous, who no one really knows who they are, hence the name, with their own objectives. You have nation states, you have criminals. So you've got a complexity of actors out there. I would call the users, the bad guys, and then the providers. And then when you look at the providers, critical infrastructure itself in the U.S. is spread over 17 different business sectors, ranging everywhere from financial sector to the power grid to defense industrial base and a whole variety of other folks.
Right. Now, Tom, you mentioned the speed of innovation, and speed of innovation helps not only the good guys, but it also helps the bad guys. Where do you see new business opportunities when it comes to cybersecurity and infrastructure protection, given the speed of innovation as a factor?
Well, number one, you need to be thinking about security to be baked in. As these new devices become available on the market, hopefully they have some sort of security built into them, whether they be industrial control systems, smart grid, electronic health records. You want to bake security in wherever possible. But then you also need to realize your strength is in numbers and in the information you can share. So it's moving not just from platform-centric, but to information-centric, that I can take and give information to like people, whether I'm a consumer or I'm someone in a particular industry I share with my industrial peers, or I'm critical infrastructure where I'm sharing data perhaps to the U.S. government and they're sharing me threat data back as well. So I think the opportunity is baking security in, and then also finding a way of doing more rapid and more efficient information sharing. Hopefully at some point you're doing it machine to machine. There's not a whole lot of humans in the loop.
Mm-hmm. Do you see industry as having the tools that it needs in terms of technological development for that?
Yes, there's a lot of investment going into cybersecurity, which is a good sign. There's a lot of investment going into the bad guys as well, as you can see by their growing sophistication and number. So I think you're always going to have a race where if you're ahead, you're not going to be ahead for long, whether you're the good guy or the bad guy. It's going to be cat and mouse going forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the time we've got allowed here, we've got a couple of minutes left. It's said that the competition for highly skilled cybersecurity pros is going to be especially keen because both the government and industry are going to be dipping into the same pool of folks ranging from college grads all the way up to grizzled veterans. How do you see the pool of cybersecurity professionals evolving in the next decade?
Well, I think cyber is indicative of a larger challenge we have as a science, technology, engineering, and math in this country. We don't have enough U.S. citizens taking those courses or graduating with those degrees. So we need to look at a broader STEM initiative to increase that in all sectors of the economy. We need these people wherever they come from. We can't just limit ourselves to Ivy League or to the upper middle class or the upper class. We really need to tap into our talent base wherever it may live and whatever it may do. So I think as we address STEM, that rising tide in particular will help fill the cyber requirements going forward. The government's done a number of good things already. For example, the NSA and DHS have an academic center of excellence program in place at over 100 national universities where people can come in there and get a certified curriculum in cybersecurity. That's great. I think we also need to continue things like Cyber Patriot, which the Air Force is pushing, which really touches down at the high school and the junior high school level. So you want to catch these children as they come up in elementary school and middle school before they even really start thinking about college or careers. Get them interested in STEM. Get them, the smart ones, try to steer a good percentage of them to cybersecurity and help them get good training so when they do get that degree, they match the jobs which are needed at that point in time.
Last minute or so, how do you think McAfee's doing in terms of recruiting cybersecurity pros?
We're one of the largest in the industry, so I think we have a very strong program doing that, and we look across the board. We start with internships. We hire people directly out of college or trade schools and folks getting out of the military. We have a very aggressive hiring veterans of the military into our company. So I think we've done pretty well, but you're absolutely right. It's very intensive competition out there for the good people. And hopefully the good people want to continue to go work with good people like we have at McAfee.
I want to thank our guest, Tom Conway, Director of Business Development for McAfee. Earlier in the program, we heard from Mike Peterson, Vice President with URS, and Dr. Ernest McDuffie with NIST. Our special thanks to the FCA Cyber Committee for production help with today's program. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer? The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search FCEA. That's AFCEA. That's also where you can download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of FCEA International, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at FCEA.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for FCEA Answers on Federal News Radio.